Welcome to Techotastic, an ETA Cast podcast bringing you the latest and greatest in tech news. Each episode, we like our nerds to give their opinion about everything we talked about. I'm Chris, your host over at Trust Me, I Have a Beard, and also one of the co-hosts on ETA Cast, our original podcast. And this is a brand new podcast that I'm bringing out all about technology. I'm a huge tech nerd. I love new tech. I especially love comparing it to old tech. That's some of the things that really makes me happy as far as technology. For instance, like buying a phone every 3 years or whatever and just realizing like, wow, you know, in this 3 years, this new phone is just substantially better. It's night and day, right? But the beauty right now about modern tech would be that it's very much a nice standard, okay? Yes, you can still get shitty-ass tablets from China. You know, they won't really work that well. But the fact is, the technology is so available to everyone as far as, like, a nice touchscreen, a nice capacitive touchscreen. And so what that introduces is a pleasant experience because it's very standardized. Now in 2015, going on to 2016, I'm recording this on the 30th of December. We can all pretty much agree that whenever we go to a Walmart or a Target or what have you, they have nice touchscreens. They're going to work. Whereas just 5 years ago, you know, five years ago, roughly, we all remember the touchscreens, which were TFT. They were impactative. They had to be impacted by something. So that's why we had to use a stylus. So that's something I like to give people an example for them to wrap their heads around technology, especially the consumer side of things. Nowadays, we have very nice screens, very nice cameras. For instance, there's a 41 megapixel camera on my phone. I mean, that's just, it's wild. The native picture that this takes, 41 megapixels, you can practically print it on a billboard without having to scale it. And I really like to do this podcast as well because I want to actually engage the listening base, as small as it may be. I think technology is a thing that we all have in our lives, especially first world countries. And if you're listening to this right now, you're probably listening to it on a smartphone, some sort of app that will, you know, update itself without you even noticing, and you'd be like, oh wow, there's a new one. So yeah, whenever you guys want to give your opinions, any sort of feedback that I might say, because technology is very much a subjective world. We have a lot of really good companies, Microsoft, Apple, Google, that are innovating and pushing the bounds as far as technology. And it's really cool that we have these companies and not just one, because they sort of push and pull each other of like, hey, we just came out with this. What do you guys got? That's my excitement in the technology industry as well, because there's a lot of people that are passionate about technology, and there's a lot of people that like voicing their opinions about it. So please go on our Facebook page, facebook.com/ETAcast. That's where you can get all of the podcast. And if you're wanting to listen to the original ETA cast with Sam and I, there's the first 12 episodes you can find on there. Trust Me, I Have a Beard is on there. Everything is aggregated on that Facebook page. All right, I'm excited to jump into this podcast. Hope you guys are too. And let's go into it. Episode 1, Techotastic. What is technology? On episode 1, I kind of want to just get everyone on the same page as far as where technology was, where it is now, and where it might be going. Now, I talk a lot about future tech on episode 2 of Trust Me, I Have a Beard. So if you want to check that out, I'm not going to reiterate a lot of things. I talked a lot about the Intel TikTok method, transistor sizes and what have you, evolutions of Windows, things like that. We'll briefly touch base on them, but if you want to hear more in depth, check out episode 2 of Trust Me, I Have a Beard. All right, so a brief history of humans and technology. Let's just go over an actual timeline of a human being. So if your parents, or like for instance, my mom was born in 1967, she can get a pretty good timeline of what happened with technology between the 70s and now. So let's go just a decade back from the 70s, 1960, and let's start from there. I'm gonna post this cool infograph. It's in partnership with IBM, and it's just a brief infograph. It sort of explains where the microprocessor was born and where the World Wide Web is and this, that, and the other. So if you want to follow along with it, go ahead and go on facebook.com/ETAcast and you'll find it on there. Okay, 1960. Theodore Maiman invents the operatable laser. Okay, it's a compact laser that he introduced into a sort of computer device, right? This is the sort of first hardware device that can push software. But relatively to tech in that day, software was more of just a punch card. You would feed it into a computer, and the computer would be like, okay, I understand that card, I'm gonna run that. All right, let's jump to 1965, where Robert Lucky invents the automatic adaptive equalizer, which is eventually used in all modems, all right? It's a standardized piece of hardware to lay a infrastructure for modems. And New Jersey adopts this, switching on the first routing telephone calls. Now, what does this mean for technology? It means that there's a path to use telephones. Remember back in 56K days where we had to dial up into the telephone and you were occupying the line? This was the technology that allowed that. In 1965, you would not even guess that. See, that's the thing about consumer tech. Only until really in the 90s, well, kind of in the 80s, where consumers start getting allowed this stuff. All right, from 1965 to 1971, which is a huge time period in technology, where Intel introduced the first microprocessor. They called it a computer on a chip. Now, let me remind you, this is the same technology that we use today in our processors. It's a micro form of that, because every so often, it's typically every 2 years, Intel shrinks the processor about 2 nanometers. And right now it's roughly, consumer processors are roughly about 16 nanometers. And once again, you can check out all about the Intel TikTok method on episode 2 of Trust Me, I Have a Beard. All right, 1975, the US military begins using fiber optics. Why? Because they realize that it's the fastest data speeds that we can get. Fiber optics in 1975, it's like the US military totally knew about this and they started laying the foundation for us consumers, right? And in 1980, that happens. AT&T connects all major cities with fiber optics, laying down the infrastructures. So from 1960 to 1980, it's really laying down the infrastructure for consumer technology. All right, in 1985, Microsoft releases Windows 1.0. Why is this important? Because it actually gives users a operating system that they can go to and that they can familiarize with themselves, okay? It's Windows is, okay, the military uses Windows, but also Microsoft knows the consumer is using Windows as well. So they're building infrastructure for the military in Windows and also in the consumer side of Windows. So they're trying to sort of merge them together, if you will. Microsoft realizes that these technologies, the civilians need them very much so as the military. That's what I feel, what Microsoft's plan is with Windows at this point. All right, fast forward to 1991, where consumers can definitely buy home computers at this point. It's not a problem. And 1991, the World Wide Web, www, is open to the general public. Now, the military's been using the World Wide Web for a long time at this point. They've been using it to communicate with each other. They've been using email servers. But at this very point, all the infrastructure points to the consumers need this as well, and it should be opened up to them. And so the World Wide Web is open to the general public, and we can connect to it, if you will. So you can imagine between 91 and 97, which is another major step, or how many websites are being built or on the web at this point. Okay, IBM in 1997 develops a sort of bump in their original technology in the microprocessor, where they built a copper-based chip. And what that did, it allowed more transistors to be put on a single chip. The more transistors, the faster the processor gets its data, right? And so what did this actually do for the consumer side of technology? Well, allowing more transistors on a single chip of course, increases the productivity of the chip itself, which in turn allowed us to multitask and allowed us to run more intense programs to be more productive with the computer. So faster speed. All right, let's jump to the year 2000, where 100 Americans are using cell phones now. And we get the first wireless networks. And so in 2003, with all this wireless stuff going on, people can be mobile now. It's very much a atmosphere where you don't have to be in the same room at the same time. And so you get things being standardized like web conferencing in 2003. And so, of course, in 2007, everyone remembers where we first got our actual smartphone. That's when Apple introduced the iPhone. And we can sort of get a timeline of what happened between 2001 and 2015. We're getting better screens, we're getting faster phones, we're getting reliable touchscreens, right? This is where technology really starts minimizing itself and starts shrinking itself down. And it's really cool to see it because first you see it start shrinking itself down, and then people start going, wow, these screens are really nice, let's have bigger phones again. But they're still really slim, and we have awesome cameras on them, and they're fast, you know, it's incredible. And so throughout these years from 1960 until now, we can only imagine over the technology across many different industries how computers and just processing power has helped safety, has helped transportation, productivity, has helped someone writing a book, whatever it may be. It's all because we have manufacturers like Intel, like Quantum, and we have innovators like Microsoft, Google, Apple. Well, let's go ahead and talk about that, because the people that know me know that I don't really like Apple, and I have many different reasons, and I feel they are not a company that innovates. They used to be, however, they're more of the business side of things, of acquiring tech and putting it in their own package and selling it off to users. So that's my whole thing with Apple. Anyways, what was I saying? Yeah, you have these companies that are pushing forward, and they are passively going, hey, this is 50% faster. And as human beings nowadays, we don't really understand that, because the functionality that we have could be limited to just opening up an internet browser and checking out your email real quick. Well, really, that's opening up an app nowadays and checking your email real quick and closing it out. But that's the point. That's the point they're getting across. It's a get in and get out experience. It's a, what do you want to accomplish in your head? How can you translate that on whatever device you're using? How quick can you get that done? And also, how efficiently can you get that done? So all of our technology that we're getting now is really just putting that extra bump on what we have currently. We don't necessarily see it. Not all of us, certainly not. A lot of us do. A lot of us understand, oh my gosh, this new processor is 2 nanometers less than my last processor. This is going to be so much more efficient in multitasking and rendering, this, that, and the other. But it's really cool, like I said before all this, that we have companies that are sort of pushing and pulling each other and pushing the bounds, right? But we have these companies too that are going, damn, you know, I don't want to just show everyone a 50% faster thing of what they had last year. I want to go and make something new, a new platform for productivity. And it's a scary thought. I mean, back in the 90s, where Microsoft was really trying to push the mouse, people were like, I'm not sure about this thing. You know, I have to put my hand on a desk and move this thing around. But they felt like that was the most natural way at the time for us to express what we needed to do to get things done, to translate our thought onto a computer. And sure enough, we all adopted it, and a little baby can probably pop out of the womb and start using a mouse now. And so we have to think about what can we use that can increase our productivity, but it's also going to innovate of what we have now. Innovate in the sense of it's going to be completely new. It's going to expound upon the previous thing that we used before, right? it's going to increase 500%, 1,000%. And so you have companies, Microsoft right now is developing the HoloLens. They're touting that as being the device of productivity, as being a creative device, as, you know, as simple as putting it on. If you want to display Netflix on your massive wall, go for it. They're putting this technology out to consumers and going, what can you do with it? It's not out yet. You can get the development versions. I think they're about $5,000 or something. But when you really think about these new devices that we could be using in the next 5 years, because right now we've been using the mouse for 25 years and it's gone its limits as far as what we can do with our current technology. And that's what we're going to talk about in this show all the time, is what's the technology that happened in the last month, if you will, or the last week, and where is it going, and where can it go? For instance, Google just axed their Google Glass. I think they realized that it came out too soon, and when that happens, they want to put it back to the drawing boards and sort of update it, if you will. That sort of segues into my other topic that I wanted to talk about, which is gaming consoles. It's very much a staple piece of technology in the household now. It's not just for gamers. You can get any gaming console now and it'll be a platform of entertainment. Simple as that. You can play video games on it, absolutely. However, you can also watch Netflix. You can even open up a browser and look at porn. So gaming consoles have this problem nowadays where it'll come out. And I want to use the Xbox One and the PS4 as the best example, because this is the most detriment time that this has happened ever in a gaming console. Look at the 360 and the PS3, it lasted forever, it felt like. And it was a good standard device for gamers to play on. However, when the Xbox One, the PS4 came out, computers were using, I think 5th generation Ivy Core processors at the time. We're talking, you know, really fast shit. You know, gaming rigs are running 16 gigs of RAM with a massive graphics card in it. And so my point is, Microsoft and Sony had to sort of scratch their heads and go, what can we compromise with that will last for a bit, but also be in the same standard of games? Because when developers want to make games, a good developer, however, I want to say, they want to put them all on three platforms, if you will. I don't include Nintendo because Nintendo's always fallen back on the hardware game. It's a perfect example. Developers want to play on the same playing field, right? So if they want to make a game for PC, Xbox One, PS4, right? They're going to have to go and go, well, the PC technology nowadays, 2015, the Xbox One, PS4 launched in 2014 or 2013 or something like that. The technology for the PC right now is substantially better than those consoles. So we have to optimize our game for those consoles and then go ahead and increase our graphical power of the PC version. And so the PC audience don't get screwed and get the console versions, if you will. Because they're trying to make a beautiful game, right? You can't hate them for not wanting that. And so I honestly think that gaming consoles are gonna be going away in some sort of sense of, and it's not going to happen anytime soon, but in some sort of sense of, people are going to start realizing that you can easily build a computer. It could be as tiny as a, you know, 6x12-inch box, and it'll be just as powerful, if not more powerful, as the consoles that you can buy right now. But however, this computer is customizable. You can change out the RAM, you can change out the graphics card, you can change out the processor, given that it has to be the same socket size. And you can sort of update it as the technology shifts, but as consoles, it has to stay stagnant. That's it. It's in the stagnant corner. And yes, it's fine for just running Netflix. It's fine for looking at porn real quick, but it's very limited in the fashion of what it can do in comparative what a actual computer can do. You know, if I wanted to open up a document, but also open up Bing and search for tiger pictures, I can do that instantly on the computer, whereas a gaming console, it would take you a good second to do that, because they're not as friendly, they're not as intuitive as computers. And so that's my point of consumers right now are actually getting a more level-headed viewpoint of technology. You know, we're all realizing that we can put our schedule on our phone and it'll add up things for you automatically without you even having to write it down on a piece of paper. And it's just so much easier. We all just figure out these things as the years go by. My love with technology started when I was, I was in sixth grade. I was playing EverQuest. And I just fell in love with technology at that point. EverQuest really made me fall in love with technology because I had to troubleshoot a lot of things to make it run. I was running on like an HP Compaq, you know, some sort of desktop thing. It had like a blue front on it, you know, and I was switching out RAM and I was just really just trial and error in a lot of things. And from there, from when I was 11 until now, I'm 25 now, I've pretty much followed along with technology in that sort of sense. I've had a job at Dell as a technology manager over there for troubleshooting. I did a lot of PC support classes in high school, but it's always really been about if I got that blue screen, I never took it to Best Buy, I never took it to the computer man down the street. I always just troubleshooted myself, and if it didn't work, I would figure out why it didn't work, what have you. So that's my love of technology, and people nowadays, I feel, are falling in love with technology more and more so because they're loving the screen, they're loving the camera, it's really expanding their horizons on what they can do, and they're realizing that. Yeah, so gaming consoles, I feel, are gonna go away. They're not gonna be around for much longer. And I'd probably give it another 8 years, solid 8 years, they're not gonna be around. Future tech like augmented reality, virtual reality are gonna come out, and people are gonna go, well, I want these things to run perfect. I want these things to run on my configurations and this, that, and the other. And so they're gonna shift towards building their own devices. And I think that'd be a good thing for the technology industry. Steam is gonna love that. Yeah, so we talked a little bit about the future tech and the gaming consoles. Let's stray away from there. Where else can our technology go? Well, on episode 2, I talked a little bit about, well, I think I talked a lot about quantum computing. That's really our next step logically and where it's going to go as far as consumer-based computing power, if you will. We're going to replace our microprocessors with this quantum technology. It's going to be sort of like what Intel did in 1997, where they introduced that new technology. But really, they just put it on their microprocessor, so it just put existing technology, it just upgraded that. However, this step is going to upgrade our whole existing technology. It's going to replace it. It's completely axe it out. And why it has to do that is because the technology to make quantum computing is radically different from what we have in our silicon-based technology right now, and our transistor-based stuff. They have to go back to the drawing boards. But what that's going to do in turn is going to increase our computing power far beyond what it is right now. We're talking thousands times faster. And so another thing is what's going to happen passively is going to be internet speeds. This is a very important note. Games are getting bigger. 4K streaming is finally being standardized now. And so we need more bandwidth. And what that's gonna do, right now, we're pretty much set. You go to any major city in America, you can get astronomical speed. However, in the future, where we're transferring terabytes and it's gonna be a standard. Right now we're doing gigs. We're transferring, you know, fucking 5 terabytes. We're gonna need standardized speeds over a gig. It's gonna have to be a gig download at least. And all of the ISPs are definitely doing that. They're moving towards all that faster and faster speeds. President Obama just said that our old 10 megabits for the standard old 10 megabits is going to be axed out, and he's changing it to 25 as being the new standard for broadband. So 25 megabits. And basically what that means is ISPs can't say they have broadband speed. So they're gonna have to update their speed. They're just gonna have to give it to the customers, essentially. You can sort of see the shift right now. If you look at the speeds of the internet download and upload, you'll see that it's definitely gone up steadily. Definitely quite the shift from the old 56K days where, man, I remember fucking clicking on it, telling my parents, I'm getting on EverQuest, and that means like a 4 or 5 hour session, you know? And man, just seeing people rubber band around, because the ping would be, you know, retarded. Everyone was like that, so you sort of, that's how the game played out anyways. I'm sure the developers, you know, said, hey, during our combat, we have to make it very stagnant because the ping is going to be retarded. But awesome game. I had an awesome time in EverQuest. Oh, I loved it. And then I played EverQuest 2 for a bit, and man, I love that too. Definitely looking forward to the next EverQuest. Yeah, so sorry about all that EverQuest stuff. I definitely talked about EverQuest a lot, but that was a perfect example of like how people fall in love with technology. I remember getting like a 128 meg RAM stick and thinking, holy shit, I can run two more modernized models for EverQuest now because I got more RAM. And that connected in my head was, you know, the more resources a computer has, the more it can dedicate to a computer. I'm only 11 at the time. So it's very fun figuring it out for your own self rather than bringing it to the computer guy. I have nothing against those people. I certainly don't. But I feel like if you're going to be using a piece of technology that has these things built in, I mean, you think about it. If you bring the device in, you bring in the computer, all they're doing is going on the computer themselves that you could have done. And nowadays, it's really, really not that hard. They have a lot of contingencies. They have a lot of things that automate itself. For instance, Windows defrags itself automatically now. You don't ever have to do that anymore. You know, Windows will turn itself on while you're sleeping and update itself, so you don't have to deal with the fucking screen. These things are set in place so it doesn't put in a barrier of like, oh shit, I gotta call up Dell and sit on the phone with them for 11 hours. That actually happened. To remove 700 pieces of malware, you know. All because the guy didn't want to delete World of Warcraft. And I explained to him, I said, sir, you know, you can download it again. It's better if we wipe out Windows. But no, he wanted to pay Dell $150 for me to remove all the pieces of malware. And I did. Took 11 hours. So I always tell people, don't be afraid with technology. You're not going to break anything. If you're using Windows, use the universal undo, which is Control Z. It's pretty much any program you open up in Windows, Control Z, it'll undo it. You're not going to break it. If something feels like it's broken, close out of the window and reopen the program. You know, if you don't know what the link is, don't click on it. If you're browsing porn, use an aggregator. So, you know, these things are sort of, you can't be afraid of technology because you can always fix it. That's why it's there, and especially the modernized technology. Yeah, I really hope to be doing these episodes every week and talking about some sort of subject of technology and going into their news of that side of technology, like for instance, AR, or a new gaming console. I know Microsoft is planning on to release a slimmer Xbox next year. Camera, you know, things like that. I definitely would like everyone's opinion and I would like everyone's feedback on what I could talk about as far as technology goes. And I'd like to thank Troy Turiet again for letting me use his music, his tunes. I really hope you guys enjoy that. I love mixing them in. I love hearing them. And I think it goes well with the podcast. Not sure I'm going to close this episode. I'll think of some sort of catchy thing later on. Who knows? But yeah, guys, cheers. Thanks for listening. And I'm super excited to kick off this new podcast, Techotastic. Remember to follow us again on facebook.com/ETAcast. Hit that like button and you can check out Trust Me, I Have a Beard and this podcast on iTunes as well. Cheers, guys. You guys have a great one and we'll see you again on ETAcast.